So Jay Rinpoche says, think therefore upon seeing and hearing of others' deaths. I am no different. Death will soon come. Its certainty is no doubt, but no certainty as to when. I must say goodbye. I must say farewell to my body, wealth, and friends. But good and bad deeds will follow like shadows. So this encapsulates the 9-point death meditation. Yeah, the first major point being that death is definite. It has 3 sub-points. Then the second major point, that the time of death is indefinite, which also has 3 sub-points. And then the third point, which is at the time of death, our body, possessions, and dear ones stay here, but we only take our karma with us. Okay, so I've talked pretty much about the first 2 points, yeah? So today I thought to talk about the last one, because if we really meditate on this last point, you know, what we take with us at the time of death, it really helps us get our priorities very, very clear. And because it helps us think of the karma that we tend to create in relationship to our body, possessions, and friends and relatives. Yeah, and that karma comes with us, but those objects that we create the karma in relationship to don't. Yeah, so if we start out, possessions is the easiest one, okay? So in order to get possessions, it's very easy to create a tremendous amount of negative karma. Yeah, we lie, we fudge on taxes, on fees, we do dirty business deals that we rationalize, we cheat customers, overcharge people. You know, this one of taking what hasn't been freely given, it's called stealing, but it involves cooking the books, extortion, exploitation, you know, all kinds of wrong livelihood that people do in order to earn a living. Let's say, you know, building weapons or materials that, chemicals that are used to kill people and so on. So, you know, when you look around, people, in order to get possessions, engage in some kind of livelihood, even dealing drugs, you know, it includes all the illegal livelihoods, as well as the legal ones that are done illegally, you know. But we create so much negative karma out of greed and attachment to get possessions. And yet at the time we die, the possessions stay here, the karma comes with us. You know, when we're trying to get money, to get possessions, to get all the things we want, when we can't get the money, we get angry. When we get the possessions and they're not as good as we thought they were going to be, we get angry. When they don't make us happy like they were supposed to, we get angry. When they break, we get angry. You know, so a lot of karma also created with respect to anger in relationship to possessions. And yet when we die, yeah, all the money, all the possessions stay here, yeah? And then your friends and relatives have to go through them. And, you know, they look at everything that you've had and everything you've clung on to in all your drawers, in all your closets that you couldn't bring yourself to give away and share with other sentient beings who need things. And then they take all those things, yeah, that were so precious to you, and they just give them away because, you know, most of them they don't have any use for. Yeah? So, you know, when you think about it, it's a really sad situation that we work so hard to get stuff. We could create a lot of merit by being generous with our stuff. But we can't bring ourselves to do that, because if we give something away, we may not have it. And so we create karma being stingy, we create negative karma getting the stuff, and then at the end, all that karma comes with us, and all the possessions stay here. And they're totally useless to us, you know, at the time we're dying, you know, and certainly in our next life, all the possessions now, totally useless. Yeah. If you've ever had the experience of going through the estate of people who have died, you know, I had this with my, you know, both my parents, you know, you look at all these things that were so precious to them, and you think, wow, you know, who are they now? What is their mind experiencing now due to the karma they created? Yet all this stuff sits here. And like, what do we do with all of it? You know, we packed it up and gave it to a charity. Yeah, so it's kind of sad that, you know, you spend your whole life on for this, create a lot of negative karma, and then nothing comes of it. The same way, you know, same thing with friends and relatives. Yeah, create so much negative karma, you know, out of attachment and anger and confusion in relationship to people. I think sometimes much more than we create in relationship to money and possessions. Yeah, because we want people to love us, we want them to approve of us, we want their praise, their recommendations, their endorsements. So when we do things they don't like, we lie to them. Yeah, we put on masks and pretend to be people we aren't. We, you know, talk harshly to them and get angry at them when they say the things we don't like, because we want to hear sweet, ego-pleasing words, and instead they say, why don't you do X, Y, Z, and why did you do A, B, C, you know, which we don't want to hear at all. Yeah. Yeah, so out of attachment to them, if they want us to create, you know, to do harmful actions, we'll do them. Yeah, our friends and relatives want us to lie to cover up their bad deeds. We do it, no problem. Yeah, I think that's what they call enabling and codependence, but we do it and we think it's kindness. You know, they got themselves into a pickle, so I'll lie and cover up for them. Yeah, or they did something that's not too cool, I'll threaten and annoy and bother the people who found out about the bad thing my friend and relative did, you know. So we stick by people through thick and thin, even when they're doing negative actions. We won't say anything to them, you know, but we'll stick up for them, creating a lot of negative karma in doing so, by lying and you know, rejoicing in the wrong things and getting angry at other people who harm our friends and relatives. And, you know, and we do all these backflips to get approval and so on. And, you know, they say their sweet, ego-pleasing words and you know, give us some good reputation and we feel good for a while, but then it's like an empty pit inside, mentally, isn't it? Yeah. Is the pit inside of us that likes to hear sweet words, does that ever get filled? No, we can hear all the sweet, wonderful words. I love you, you're fantastic, you're the best XYZ, I'm never going to leave you, you're more dear to me than the other one, on and on and on. Does it ever fill that pit of wanting to hear sweet words? Does it ever truly make us feel good about ourselves? No. And yet look at what we do to get those words from other people. You know? Some people totally give up their dharma practice, yeah, to please friends and relatives and to get those words. completely give up the Dharma. Then what happens when you die? Yeah, all the friends and relatives, you have all their approval. You have all the sweet cards. You know the cards they write you on your birthday and at Christmas that you saved, you know, that you hang up all over your place, you know, so it reminds you of how much you're loved by all these people. Yeah. So you have piles and piles of these cards and letters and emails, you know. And then you die, and what happens to all these things? Yeah, they all go in the trash. Every single one of them. Yeah. Again, if you've gone through the estate of anybody, do you sit and read all their Christmas cards and lovely emails? No, it's so boring. You know, you just take them all into the recycle bin. Yeah, or press the delete button. And yet, you know, we spend our whole life doing this, you know. It just consumes so much time. We get angry. We get attached. We get miserly. We won't be generous because we've got to, you know, we want to buy our dear ones presents because then they love us more. You know, I remember when one man came here, this really shocked me. He said he felt his wife loved him more when he earned more money. Yeah, and I imagine a lot of people feel that way, you know? And so you work hard, you spend your time doing things, all sorts of stuff, get the sweet ego-pleasing words, never makes us feel totally good about ourselves. And then all that karma comes with us, and all those people stay here. Yeah? And to have all those friends and dear ones around you when you're dying, some people see that as a lovely way to go. Oh, that's not what I want. I think that must be so painful. You know, they're all sitting there crying. I love you. Don't die. I can't live without you. You mean so much to me. You know, how are you going to die peacefully watching all these other people be so grief-stricken? Yeah, you won't be able to focus on your own process of dying, on taking refuge, generating bodhicitta, and so on, because your mind's going to be totally preoccupied again with, you know, taking care of them, yeah, instead of transforming our own mind. And no matter how we try and take care of them, they're still going to be grief-stricken. Yeah, then they have a big funeral for us. Yeah, and everybody brings flowers, or they don't bring flowers, they bring cards, they sign a little guest book. Oh, I never saw so-and-so ever get angry in their life. That's what they say about us after we die. When we're alive, why are you always so angry and blaming me for your own stuff? Have you noticed that? Yeah, that after people die, people only say sweet things. They were the best one. Never saw them get angry. Never were greedy and stitchy. When they're alive, yeah. And that's what we do backflips for, to earn, you know, sweet words so that we can die with all that karma. You know? So I think really thinking deeply about this, it makes us ask ourselves. I'll talk more about our body tomorrow because that's a whole other issue. But, you know, it really makes us think, what is a healthy relationship with possessions and money? What is a healthy relationship with friends and relatives? You know? Because we have to use possessions and, you know, money functions in the world. But what is a good mental attitude to have towards it? And how can we use that money and possessions to create merit? Similarly, we're definitely social animals. Buddhism is not advocating no friends, no relatives, no connections at all. How are you going to be a bodhisattva and benefit others if there's no connections? But what does it mean to have a healthy Dharma connection with people so that the relationship benefits them and benefits us, you know, both now in our Dharma practice, but also in future lives, you know, where we can help each other to create virtue and to abandon non-virtue, instead of help our dear ones to create non-virtue and abandon virtue. Yeah. So many people ask me when their dear ones die, you know, what can I do to help them? And, you know, yes, you can do pujas and prayers, but the real way to help them is when they're alive, by teaching them the Dharma, if they're receptive. If they aren't receptive, then you teach all your friends and relatives from previous lives, who are all the other sentient beings you see around you. If the friends and relatives of this life aren't interested, then teach the ones from previous lives. They're all around us, you know? And that's a way to really repay kindness. Mm-hmm. And to really benefit each other.
Teaching also means probably showing examples of the lifestyle and ethical lifestyle.
Definitely, showing the example by ourselves living an ethical lifestyle. And when they want us to do things that aren't so good, we explain that we aren't going to engage in them, and we explain why. And, you know, if we really want to help our friends and relatives, encourage them to be generous. Yeah? Instead of saying, let's take all the money and go on a cruise that costs, you know, $30,000, how about if we give some money to charity for people who don't even have enough, you know, to buy food? You know, encourage them to be generous. Encourage them to keep ethical conduct. When they're angry about something, yeah, help them to overcome their anger, to, you know, by looking at the situation in a different way, instead of joining in on them. Yeah, you're right. That person really harmed you. Let's go get them together, you know? And then we encourage non-virtue in the people we love. That's only going to bring them suffering this life and future lives. So please think deeply about this, you know? Kind of review your relationships with money and possessions. Review your relationships with friends and relatives. See where there's been non-virtue. Think about how to stop that non-virtue and how to help yourself and them to create virtue instead.